Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning or anything else really to JolieCare@gmail.com. With me as always is my partner in crime, Dave Lozo. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Hi. You excited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really,
I know you are.
I'm really excited, actually.
Yeah. I know you are.
I've had the most fun pre-10 minutes before a show than I've ever had before.
And I can't wait.
It's great.
Oh, but, that hurt my feelings.
Oh, see, this is what I'm talking. This is what I'm telling you guys. Like, you know.
Well, let's tell the people why you're so excited.
Some things are not genetic.
Dave is very excited because we have a very, very special guest with us here in the studio. We are thrilled to welcome my parents, mother and father of Clean Person, here in the flesh. I did not spring fully formed from a very tidy cabbage patch. I actually was created by two flesh and blood humans. And so we're so excited to have my mother, Roseanne, is here with us. Say hi, Mommy.
Hi there.
And my father, Anil, is here with us too. Say hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
I knew that was coming. We're very glad to have them for what will either be the best or worst show I have ever done. I'm a little nervous about this, you guys. I don't know what they're going to say.
We were recording before we started, right? So we can use all that.
Yeah.
Well, we did give her a Cabbage Patch doll when they were the thing to do.
Okay.
And I remember hunting all over Bridgeport to find the damn thing.
And then she cleaned the whole time. She never actually played with it.
I think she might have made cabbage salad out of that.
No, I didn't.
I'm getting froggy already. No, my Cabbage Patch doll's name was Imogene. I remember that. Anyway, before we can get into my Cabbage Patch doll, we want to remind you that we offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to our premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite our show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages we're offering and select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps us so much, and we would love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like us to consider making available. We have some new patrons this week.
Cool. That means money.
That does mean money.
Money's awesome.
Ah, we do love the money.
Money's cool.
So we would like to thank Lindy Stevens, Liz Johnson, and Mary Ajango. Hmm. Love that last name.
Ajango.
So we have good, like, lyrical last names.
Mary Ajango, murderer. Yeah. It feels like it goes with that, right?
Yeah, it does. Informer, yeah.
Still Patreon, yeah. Ajango.
We also, speaking of our sponsors, well, Dave, we have other money people to thank.
Oh, money people are
the
best.
Yeah, we love our money people. We want to remind you that the mattress company, Sattva Mattress, has partnered with us to sponsor all of our March La Mob episodes, our bed making episodes. We're super excited. We love Sattva's affordable luxury mattresses. They deliver great sleep with their eco-friendly construction, full service delivery, and 120-night home trial. To learn more about them, check out their website at sattvamattress.com. That's sattvamattress.com. And I hope that everybody's La Mob is going well. We are going to check in on that subject in the second segment. But since we have my parents here, I thought we would devote the first segment to shoe shining, which is a thing that my dad learned in school. And then we also have probably one of the weirdest things you've ever taught me, Mommy, which is saying quite a lot. You've taught me some weird things over the years. But my mom has this old trick to take white water rings out of wood. And so we're going to have her talk about that. So basically, we're going to talk about polishing things in the first segment.
When do we get to the part where we ask them why you are the way you are?
Yeah.
Not guilty. You.
I figured we would just pepper those questions in into the discussion. We also have to make my dad tell the story about appearing on the Phil Donahue Show, which our patrons will have heard us talk about because we talked about it in last week's bonus episode.
Where your dad turned Phil Donahue's audience against Phil Donahue.
Yes. Yeah. And so actually, you know what? Daddy, why don't we have you open with that story? Give the people a bit of a flavor of what I was raised by.
Well, I don't think this flavor is the right word for this story. So what happened was that we got involved in a case. A woman named Shirley Brown was leaving her home at about 7:30 in the morning, and she slipped on her own sidewalk and fell and broke her hip. So she sued her husband.
Shirley Brown is living the dream. I couldn't remember. Remember, I said I knew it was some kind of domestic case, but I couldn't remember what the details of the case were.
Domestic is not even the right word here. So anyway, she sued her husband because he didn't shovel the sidewalk, and he had left for work at 5 o'clock that morning. Meanwhile, it had continued to snow. Now, the important thing to remember about Shirley Brown is that she was a meter maid. So the question is, who would marry a meter maid? So her husband, Bill, it turned out, was a sewer diver. You can't make this up, okay? So it had something to do with cleaning because he would put on this diving suit and he would dive into the sewer when it got all plugged up and he would clean it out, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I had to interview him one day to get answers to questions and stuff. And I was dreading the moment when he had to get into my car because there was no office to meet. I went up. Anyway. So
that's where it comes from. You smelled the car as a kid, and then you said, I had to keep everything clean.
No, that was a different story when your cousin vomited in my car.
Oh, yeah. That's
we've had all those things happen.
Yes. Wait, was that cousin like 19 or 12? Like, was that a drunken?
No, we were fairly young. I think Jay and I were around 8.
Okay.
And so Amy would have been
You weren't coming
6.
Back from a party in high school. And then
we were little kids. Okay.
She didn't want to be in the car, so her protest was to throw up. And
she could vomit on command.
My car was about a week old. And anyway, let's not go there.
Yeah. Phil Donahue, Daddy.
Yeah, so the story with Phil Donahue is that the important issue in this case was whether a husband and wife could sue each other for negligence, or what we call a tort, T-O-R-T. And the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts ruled that, in fact, they could sue each other, and they were going to abrogate the doctrine of intraspousal immunity. And this was big news, but eventually we won that case, but that's a different story, too. So anyway, because it was such big news, Phil Donahue was doing a brief segment on the Today Show in the morning and called us in to talk about the case. And he was extremely rude to me, and I was kind of irritated by that. The other lawyer, by the way, was named Charlie Bloomsack. The show was received very well, so Phil Donahue invited us to his hour-long show, which was the regular Phil Donahue show. And it was being taped in Portland, Oregon, in the Rose Park. So I agreed to go to this thing. And in preparation for it, I read a book about William Paley, who was the founder of CBS and CBS News. And in that book, I learned that President Roosevelt was one of the most effective speakers on the radio and television because although he was a very fast talker in person, whenever he got in front of a microphone, he would totally slow down. And this, it turns out, is a very effective way to communicate when you're using a sound amplifying or sound transmitting device because you can't, the brain can't process digital sounds and acoustic sounds, analog sounds, as easily as it can when it's looking at you and watching your lips and eyes and hands, you know, which is why Italians can speak so well. So, anyway.
All right.
Okay,
all
so. Right. Oh. Well, my mother is half Italian. So. And she just whacked me. So that's the other side of the Italian gesture.
But like right? not whacked. Right. Like not whacked, but yeah. whacked. Right. Not yeah. like whacked.
Right.
Well,
like
no, this
tap.
Both
are tap.
Yeah, you can, it's the, with the H and without the H, you know.
Okay.
Anyway,
so you go to the Phil Donahue show.
So I went to the Phil Donahue show, and I started speaking very slowly. And right at the very beginning of the show, Donahue asked me something or the other, and I said, "Why are you so nervous?" and that, of course, totally threw him for a loop. And I started talking about, you know, what happened with the case. And one of the women asked me what motivated the suit. And I said, well, it was insurance money. And, of course, the audience erupted with applause on that and glee, you know, that I had revealed or exposed this meter-maid and sewer diver combination. You know, it was, anyhow, so... Donahue at one point says to me, "Well, Anil, what is it about this audience?" And I said, "Phil, they love me."
Wow, that's awesome.
So there you go. Now you've heard the story. I mean, I didn't remember
that's
all
great.
Of the specific details. The lore that's been handed down in the family is the time that Daddy read the book about audience manipulation and, you know, turned Phil Donahue's audience against him. So
and they were
the
booing
lore.
Him, too, at points.
Oh,
too,
they
right?
were booing him, yeah.
And
the funny thing was when we finished, I had more women hand me notes, you know, saying, "We love you, you're terrific," and so forth. And I stuck them in my pocket, and Roseanne dug in my pocket and said, "What's this stuff here?"
So, guys, there you go. Talk slowly, and you will get phone numbers.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. I wish I had prepared in this way before I went on to the Rachel Ray show, since she was so
Rachel,
unpleasant.
You bitch. Stop giving me shit. And then you would have totally won the audience over.
Yeah, I probably would have.
You did anyway.
I don't know if I did. I got nice feedback from it. Anyway, I don't like to dwell on that.
Her.
I don't like to dwell on that experience.
Rachel Ray.
What I do like to dwell on, however...
You're counting
is...
on all this being edited. Right.
No, it's fine.
No, that's fine. We can make fun of Rachel Ray. I don't care about her.
I'm not
her.
Afraid of her.
No,
a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so we promised the audience that we would talk about shoe shining, and we promised that in part because I've said in my columns in the past that you know, I learned to shine my shoes from my dad, although I should say that I never really fully learned because the trick was always that I just brought my shoes downstairs and said, "Daddy, could you shine these?"
It's a good trick.
It's a good trick. But, you know, I watched and I learned and I know how to polish my shoes. And I now get to share this very embarrassing story that happened recently that my dad actually promised that he wasn't going to tell. And I said, "Oh, no, I'll tell it. It's okay."
I don't remember anything.
About what was it, about a month ago, Daddy?
I have
that
no
I called
memory.
You? Okay.
Who are you?
I mean, I know you know who I am because it's like looking in the mirror. You guys, you can't see us. I look just like my dad.
No. Mm. No, I don't think so. I have a little.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's more mom than.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, there's.
I look just like my dad.
No, sorry about that.
Well, now,
all right.
Now that
well,
I've
anyway,
lost
the
my
poor,
hair, you can say anything.
The poor people listening are like, I can't see them, so this is really boring. So anyway, so about a month ago, I had gone out, I had cleaned out my closet, and as part of my closet clean out, I had had an old thing of shoe polish that was cooked, and so I tossed it out, and I went to the Duane Reade and I bought myself a new tin of shoe polish, and I got it home, and I didn't need it immediately. I just bought it because I knew I would eventually need it, and then I went to polish something, and I pulled out the tin, and I couldn't get the thing open. It was like a Mensa test. Like I was like, I am an educated and resourceful woman, and I cannot open a tin of shoe polish. So I called my daddy.
Oh, boy.
In the middle of the day. I mean, I called him at the office. It was really...
He's got a lot of important things going on. Really, and he's like, hold on, my daughter needs to open up a thing of shoe polish. How old is she, like seven?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's the other thing, you guys. I'm 40. I am a 40-year-old woman who called her daddy in the office in the middle of the workday to ask how you open a tin of shoe polish.
Was she on speaker? Did you at least do that for her.
I told you I have no memory of this.
Anyway, he knew exactly what the problem was. So I'm going to tell you guys what the problem was. I had bought a tin of Kiwi shoe polish, and there's like a key on the front of it, and I was pinching it away from the tin when actually what needs to be done is it turns upwards, and the key goes under the lip of the lid and pops it off. So that's how you open a tin of shoe polish, which is the most important part of the lesson that you're going to learn today, because if you can't open the shoe polish, you can't polish your shoes. Right?
Yes, it's a twist key, not a push key.
Mm. Right, exactly. Okay, so with that, now that you know how to open a tin of shoe polish, I'm going to turn this over to you, Daddy, and give your rundown on basic shoe polishing, and then I think you also wanted to talk about spit shining, because that was a thing that you did in school.
Yeah, and before I go there, I will tell you, I did ask Jolie, did you buy the kind of can which has a twist key, or did you buy the kind which has the depression push down and pop up the lid thing? And she said, what are you talking about? So, anyhow, she got it open.
I got it open.
How long were you on the phone for? 45? 50 minutes?
No, it was like a 2-minute phone call. Really. It was a very, very fast phone call.
Okay. He doesn't remember.
Well, she began by saying, promise me that you won't laugh. And I still haven't.
I
kept my promise.
I said, don't make fun of me for this one.
Okay, so with shoe polishing, I went to a boarding school, and it was a British military boarding school in India. Mm. So we wore uniforms, and we had cap-toe black shoes, and we had to polish them every single night. So there are two ways to polish shoes effectively. One is to take a piece of cloth and dip it into the polish. And by the way, you're talking about wax polish, not one of these liquidy things. And then you rub it onto the shoe. And the other is to take a small brush, which has a smaller head, and you dip it into the polish, and you kind of have to bang it a little bit so that the polish accumulates on it, and then you brush the polish on. The problem with the brush is that after a while, when the polish dries up, it starts cracking as you're whacking the brush, so you get it spraying all over the place. Therefore, having the cloth is a good idea, because then you can use the cloth to actually pick up chunks of polish and rub them onto the leather. And if you do this every day, it keeps the leather soft and supple. But once you've got the polish on, you then take a buffing brush, and you stick your hand in the shoe, and you buff the shoe on each side, across the front, the heel, and you get this great gloss that comes up, because you've essentially buffed the polish away, left a thin layer on, and you've got this nice little shine to it. However, for important occasions, of which we had one every year, and this was our Founders Day Parade, we would spit polish our shoes, which meant that you would take the cap, the toe cap, and you would polish it up so that it looked like those, the formal shoes that people wear with tuxes that...
Like patent leather.
They look like patent leather. So you're basically trying to get that same look. So what you do with that is you after you've polished the shoe all around, you then work on the cap. And you don't want to do the cap first, because then you'll have to do the rest of the shoe, and you'll end up putting your hand on the cap and mucking it up. So what you do is you this time you have to have a piece of cloth. So you dip the polish in the cloth, and you rub it on the toe cap in small concentric circles. But as you're doing this, you need to put some spit on the shoe, which is why it's called spit polishing.
Makes sense.
Now, folks out there, please do not lick the cloth which has the polish on it. Okay? So you actually have to spit, and you have to be able to control your spit, so you only get it on the cap. All right.
So and how much spit? How much spit are we talking about?
A little bit. like a you know, I mean, just a little bit at a time. Yeah. You can do this with water, but then it's not spit polish. It's like, you know.
And actually, the saliva is better. So for those of you who are sort of curious about wanting to try this out, if you go to YouTube and just put in spit shine how to, there are lots and lots of videos on YouTube about spit shining. Most of them are U.S. military guys showing how to do it. Because that's, I mean, I think at this stage in the game, the only people who are still spit shining are military
probably people. So there's one last step to all of this.
Okay.
So when you're finished with this, you then put the, you hold the shoe between your knees with the toe cap pointing out, and you buff it with a piece of cloth. So you're going across the thing, and you're going back and forth with the piece of cloth, and that brings out that patent leather type of shine.
There you go.
So one last thing to say about this, this is part of what you'll see in the YouTube video, is that actually there is something to the saliva that polishes better than straight water. So while you can do it with water, you know, and then it's not spit shining, it's also not quite as good. So there is just something about the, it must just be the enzymes that are in saliva.
It's called spit and span.
Oh, very good one, Daddy. All righty. So listen, before we take a break and move into our second segment, in which we'll talk about bed making and how I got this way. That's where the fun will come out. Let's since we're on the subject of polishing, Mommy, I want you to talk about the old butter and ash trick in the white water rings. And I want to know where you learned this from, because I don't know that.
I think I learned it from my mother.
From Grandma Peggy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically all it is you take a little soft butter, preferably unsalted, and make a paste with ash, like cigar ash,
right,
which we have plenty of.
Pop. My maternal grandfather was a cigar smoker, pop.
Right.
So there was cigar ash in spades.
Right. So then you make like a little paste, and then you rub it into this spot. And what's happening is paste is abrasive,
and right, because of the ash.
Right, but it's the butter is also emollient.
Mm-hmm.
So the butter and ash potion gets out slowly and inexorably.
Right,
gets the ring out.
So to use that is sort of actually the same thing as polishing shoes in a lot of ways. You need a soft cloth.
Right.
You dip the cloth into this. Listen, I've done it, and it's a little on the disgusting side.
Right.
Because it's, you know.
It is.
It smells, basically. It's probably the problem with it.
It probably smells good, though, like cigar smell and butter smell.
No, it's
good.
Cigar ash smell, though. It's not cigar smell.
Yeah, it's all related.
It smells pretty bad. It smells pretty rancid.
Mm. No, it's the ash end of the cigar, so.
Yeah, it doesn't smell good.
The ash end. I'm there now. Took me a second.
And then, you dip your soft cloth in there, like an old t-shirt is perfect for this, and you just work around the water marks in a circular motion, and you just sort of keep going and keep going. And then flip the cloth to a clean side of it and wipe the ash away, and it works. So I've written about that trick. I wrote about it for a column at Deadspin, and I had the person who had emailed me had a sink that was leaking over the front of his wood kitchen cabinets. So he had water streaks all the way down the lower fronts of his kitchen cabinets. And I said, okay, well, listen, this is what you're going to do. That's a pretty vast white water stain, so it may take you a while. But he went and he did it, and he not only did he do that, but he sent me his after photos and a whole recap of how it went. And then I wrote the column and was able to share the after photos because I had them. And so people were, I mean, first of all, they loved the fact that it's just this totally weird potion.
It is weird.
It's totally weird. But also being able to see the before and after and seeing the difference between it was pretty cool.
Now I have a question. Did he do like in Karate Kid, ash on, ash off?
He may have. You know, there are a lot of Karate Kid references in my book because the wax on, wax off is a very good cultural reference to give to people in the written word when you're trying to explain how to polish something.
So you just replace wax with like White vinegar on.
Yes, white vinegar, vinegar on, white vinegar off. Exactly.
Okay. That's useful.
All right, you guys. So listen, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Dave and I will be right back with more from my parents. This is Ask a Clean Person podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. Dave and I have been talking to my parents. Dave has questions.
Okay.
Dave has questions. So Dave has questions. Let's let Dave go loose.
Yeah, right.
Run wild on them.
The bed making. Now, did you lock her in a room when she didn't make her bed as a kid? Is that why today she's constantly telling people to make their beds? Or is this just sort of a natural thing, like a rebellion, because you never made your beds?
You go first. And then I'll tell the truth.
No, by the time she went away to boarding school.
Oh, that's where it is.
Yeah. She did make her bed. And it was very, very conscious about being neat.
But not before she left.
No. I was
right before.
No. Well before boarding school.
Well before.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Well before boarding school. And also, wait, I need to interject something. When we say boarding school, we mean prep school. We don't mean reform school.
Right. You were smoking and spray painting stuff all over town.
Yeah, apparently, such as the bubble in which I was raised, that I didn't realize that the term boarding school also was used to mean reform school until about 2 or 3 years ago. And I had to have that explained to me. So anyway, I just want to clarify that I wasn't sent away because I was a juvenile delinquent.
No,
they just wanted some free time.
No,
they just wanted.
So my take on this bed business is that it's a combination of genetics, compulsion, and osmosis.
Hmm.
So the genetics is from her mother, because her mother Roseanne always wanted to make sure the beds were done in the house every morning.
Yes.
And so that's partly genetics and compulsion. The osmosis comes from my having gone to this military boarding school.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Where we had to make our beds every single morning. And they would actually come and check to make sure that we had done them right. So that's where it comes from.
Did you come and check her bed?
No.
Okay. No.
That was mom's job.
Yeah, no.
But she was very neat.
No, that's the thing. It wasn't like they didn't need to check, because I just did it, or they didn't need to ask either. I just did it on my own.
Right.
I was I'm like Gaga. I was born this way.
No, so like if her mom was like a flower arranger today, you would have a podcast about like arranging flowers
because
you love flowers. That's where it comes
she
from.
Is quite, she is quite good with flowers, actually.
Yeah.
I unfortunately did not get the green thumb from the Italian side of the family. I have a black thumb, which is sad for me. But that's okay.
It's my genes.
I'll take it. But I want to interject
again
a few things.
Objection, Your Honor.
No, I have a few things.
I just
Daddy,
want the audience to know you're pointing your finger at me.
Yeah, I'm giving you the case finger. I'm giving you the case finger. That you know you can't put this entirely on mommy's side of the family, because your sisters dropped the dime that the clean personism also comes from your side of the family, and that your mother was compulsive about being clean and was a germaphobe.
Ooh.
And so I don't think you can lay this one entirely on the maternal line.
Response, Dad?
Oh, no. I think that's true. My mother was an absolute germaphobe. And I am a cleanophobe. I hate to shake hands with people.
Oh, I'm sorry
who have
about
sweaty
that,
hands and things. No, it's okay. You had enough beer, so your hands are not sweating. I have that trait in me too.
Yeah. Huh. Although I'm not a germaphobe, so I don't. That stuff doesn't bother me in the least. And I will say I'm much more. So my mother's sister,
my Auntie Ellen, is very tidy and clean in the same way that I'm tidy and clean. If you remember, Dave, we were talking about my refrigerator, that's the point at which people realize that I'm truly nuts. That if they right. if they see the inside of my refrigerator. So I always say, I can't remember if I said it in the full episode last week or the bonus. I think it was probably in the bonus episode. So for those of you who didn't hear that.
You should get on that. Listen to the bonus
one,
episode.
One, you should get on that. You should subscribe to them. They really are fun. Like, we have a really
They're
good
the
time
best.
With them.
I mean, I'm biased, great. But I would pay money to listen to those.
Yeah.
it's just me, though.
So I was saying that the point at which people usually have their come to Jesus moment with how crazy I am is when they see me open my refrigerator and they get a glimpse of the inside of my refrigerator. And I have actually had someone back slowly away from me upon seeing the inside of my refrigerator because it's so clean and it's so organized and it's like, it's creepy.
It's called the come to sub-zero moment.
Yeah, that is a good one. But that's how Auntie Ellen is. Like,
right.
Just everything is very orderly. So I do think that most of that probably does come down the maternal line. But I come by it honestly on both sides of the family.
Okay, I have one more question.
Okay.
Do you know about her dirty water fetish? Where she loves to have her like readers and listeners send her tubs full of dirty water after they've washed things in the tub. She wants to see the dirty water. Do you have any sort of insight into that? The look on your mom's face right now is so great. She had no idea.
No. You mean so, this is the boarding school that we didn't send her to?
Right. No, so let me explain the setup here. So a lot of times I advocate for people who have deeply stained items that they soak them for a long period of time in detergent or a whitening booster or something. This oftentimes comes into play with baseball caps. That baseball caps, as you know, are just full of sweat and grime, and if women are wearing the makeup.
We did a hockey equipment one once where people washed hockey equipment, which is the dirtiest, sweatiest, grossest thing ever, and the water was so brown and dark it was disgusting, and she could not get enough of it.
I love them. So people do this. They soak their heavily soiled items, in the sink or the bathtub or utility bucket, and then when they take them out, the water is, you know, gray, all different hues, really. There's and different,
it's a rainbow of filth.
Different dirty. Soiled items create different hues of dirty water, and I have a whole catalog of
it. I am not responsible for
this. I was just going to say, really?
And so they send me the photos of the dirty wash water. They tweet them at me, and I love it. It's like so satisfying and gross, and I love it, and I get really excited about it. And partly I get excited because when I have something that I, like, once a year I soak my curtains, because my curtains just get filthy. I live in New York, they get filthy. And the water afterwards is just staggering. It's just so disgusting. And I get excited, satisfying in some way. I don't know, you see the end result.
We had a kid in my boarding school whom they should have soaked because he used to have green marks around his neck and behind his knees. It was like moss, you know.
And now he's prime minister.
Yeah, right.
Prime Minister of Masistan, I don't know.
But actually, that brings me to this other story that I want to tell. This is kind of a famous, this is a Jolie story about boarding school, and it's kind of a famous story in our family that has come back around a few times again. So the high school I went to is called St. Mark's School. It's in Southborough, Massachusetts. I'm calling them right out. They hate this story.
St. Mark's.
They hate this story, and they should hate this story, and I love telling it. And part of the reason that it's come back around is very much by happenstance. My book editor, Allison Lorenzen, is also a graduate of the same school that I went to. We were 5 years apart, so we didn't overlap, but her younger brother and I were classmates. So it was just a total coincidence. And so the first time that Allison and I met in person was right after we signed the contract for my boyfriend Barfed. And we went out for cocktails and, you know, to celebrate. And I said to her, I said, Allison, this is kind of a funny question, but by any chance, do you have an older brother named Christian? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, oh, well, Christian and I went to high school together. She said, wait, you went to St. Mark's? I went to St. Mark's. So we're having this moment of, it's a school of 320 students, grades 9 to 12. It's tiny. There were 70 kids in my graduating class. So the fact that Alice, that my book editor also went there is just defies expectations. But so we're bonding, and I said, oh, I have to tell you the story because you will really love it. When I was a fifth form, so a junior in high school, I had a single room. And I went away for Christmas break. I went home for Christmas break, and I left my room the way that it always is, with the bed made and the clothes put away and so on and so forth. And I came back from Christmas break. My parents dropped me off at the dorm and dropped my stuff, and they took off. And I went up.
They took off. They ran away.
Yeah. Thank
Pushed
God.
Her out
that's
of the car while I was still moving. See ya.
Thank God the school will still take her back. and I went upstairs and I opened the door. Now at this time in the school's history, our rooms did not have locks on them.
Oh wow.
And they do now. And my classmates and I constantly spit with anger over it, because back in my day, which is actually really fun to now be at the point in life where I can say back in my day.
Back in the 90s,
yeah. So
the kids call
so
it.
But this is pertinent to the story. So I open my dorm room, and I stepped 1 foot in the room, and I went, someone has been in this room.
Someone has been sleeping in my bed.
Literally, someone has been sleeping in my bed. I mean, it was just like, I didn't leave this room this way.
Someone ate my congee.
And
somebody
so,
didn't make my bed.
So I went to, well, the bed was made.
Oh, but it wasn't made the right way.
But it wasn't made the way I make it.
Sure.
And someone had clearly been in my room. And
was the porridge too hot?
The porridge was too hot. I was like, well, I didn't know what had happened. I mean, I didn't know what had happened. So I go to my dorm head, and I say, Mr. Souter, this is a little bit odd, but someone has been in my room. And he says, oh, Jolie, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I meant to come down right when you got back to school, and it totally slipped my mind. Yes, indeed, someone was in your room. My wife's mother was visiting over the holidays, and she brought her boyfriend with her.
Oh, no.
And we couldn't have them sleeping in the same bed, which in hindsight is like bonkers, right? That, which is also not the craziest thing about the story, but very crazy. And he says, so we put her boyfriend in your room because you always have the cleanest dorm room. And we stripped the sheets afterwards, and we washed them, and we remade the bed. And I said, okay. now I understand. But the reason that I knew was because I walked in, and the bed was not made in the way that I make the bed. Mm-hmm. So all of you who need a new reason to make the bed so you know that when an intruder comes in and sleeps in your bed.
An intruder.
You'll know that it happened.
Right.
So here, the thing about this is that as I'm telling this story, right, so this happened to me. I was 16 years old when this happened. And you two behave yourselves over there. Dave and my dad are like,
we're not
it's
doing
like
anything.
It's like wild animals.
We're sorry. We're
it's
listening.
Okay. No, it's okay. You could be wild animals. So here's the thing. I was 16 when this happened, and you know how when you're a kid, like you kind of accept things, and it's not until a lot later that you realize how wrong they were. It wasn't.
Some stuff's going to come out now.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was that. It wasn't until I told Allison this story, which I was telling her to illustrate that I had always been a clean person and that I had the cleanest dorm room at St. Mark's. And it wasn't until I was an adult and telling this story that I realized that it's totally inappropriate to put a 60 or 70-year-old man in a 16-year-old girl's bed in her room without telling her. I mean, that's creepy. Like, my underwear were in there. It's weird.
It is creepy. I agree.
It's very creepy. And the thing is, in this day and age, it would never happen.
The fact that they had to wash the sheets after he slept there one night makes me wonder if there might not have
been
a midnight
visit. Well, no,
you should.
What he did in there. No, if a stranger sleeps in your sheets,
you think that's the minimum they could do is wash the sheets.
Right. I hope that they washed them before he got in there, too, because he shouldn't have been sleeping on my, you know, the whole thing was totally inappropriate.
They should have given him different sheets.
They,
yeah.
This school.
Or a hotel room.
The school, capital T, capital S, hates this story. And I love to tell it because they hate it so much.
It's a scandalous thing up there.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's one of my stories.
This is almost like the WikiLeaks of St. Mark's.
It is like the WikiLeaks of St. Mark's. Listen, I have worse stories that they certainly do not want me to be telling that I'm not going to tell. Because there are other, you know, it's other people's story I'm not going to tell.
You can write a book, The Bedwetter of St. Mark's.
Yeah, like he went to every single dorm room throughout the entire campus and slept in it. And then.
I mean, there was so much going on at that school. It was...
Tell some stories.
No.
It's a podcast. There's no time limit on a podcast.
No, I want to read some testimonials. Dave asked for testimonials about bed making and testimonials. I shall
give.
You did. You asked last week.
I'm taking your dad's move, and I don't remember that.
Okay,
actually
good
happening.
One. That was Jesus, this was really a bad idea to introduce you to.
Yeah,
so,
right. It really was.
I think we're going to go get a beer.
I know, and I'm worried what comes out. I'm worried you guys are going to start like texting each other. It's going to be a hot bromance between Dave and my dad.
Yeah, I don't want to promise anything, but the Phil Donahue story.
Are you a golfer, Dave?
I suck at golf.
Oh.
I'm really bad.
Because he'll probably invite you up to Boston and go golfing with him.
Yeah, I'll give you some lessons.
Yeah? Like I've literally never broken 110 on a golf course. Like, I'm good at any other sport. Golf, I don't know. I can play hockey.
If you can play hockey, you can play golf.
That's what everybody
says. Have you ever broken a club?
You mean like out of anger? Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. That's your first problem. You're not good enough to be angry.
Yeah.
All right. So let's read some testimonials about people who have joined in my bed making challenge in March and have had positive experience. Mm-hmm. So you, mommy and daddy, you have to know this. Dave is a bed making denier, and that's okay. His philosophy is that life is too short to bother.
Does he generate carbon dioxide in his bed?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't have to answer that.
But he changes his sheets every other week.
Two to three.
I'd rather have clean sheets than an unmade bed than dirty sheets in a made bed.
Wait, where does the carbon dioxide come in for the bed making argument? Does that reduce carbon?
She said you were a bed-making denier, so I was thinking about the climate change denier.
Okay. Yeah. Me and your dad are still close. We're almost on the same wavelength all the time.
Almost.
That was good. Yeah. I thought he was making a farting joke about me farting. I
actually thought so, too.
That's where I thought he was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's hear some of these.
Do.
So these are testimonials, probably most of which I pulled from Deadspin comments. Probably some of them came... maybe from emails, maybe a couple Jezebel comments, maybe some old hairpin comments. So they should be from...
You should get clean sheets at least once a week. I mean, your skin sloughs on them and stuff. That's gross.
All right, people, you heard it here
first.
There it is. You heard it here first. So I do. I change my sheets once a week.
Yeah, so I think maybe you got that from me. I mean, maybe I'm a germaphobe and a sheetophobe.
Yeah, well, the sheet changing thing is... once a week or once every other week, both are fine. And, you know, it's really just your preference about how you feel. And there are factors that contribute to why you would want to clean the sheets more often or less often. So if there are multiple people sleeping in the bed versus one person sleeping in the bed, which is the question that we got last week about the husband and wife.
What did they ever say about that?
I haven't heard back from them.
No. Thanks for listening.
Well, I mean, the episode just came out 2 days ago.
It's plenty of time.
So there's that factor to consider. There's a factor to consider in terms of what you sleep in. If you sleep in the nude, you probably will want to wash the sheets more frequently than someone who sleeps in full pajamas.
How about if you sleep in the polyester?
If you're a hot sleeper, so if you have frequent night sweats, you probably want to wash the sheets more often than someone who's a very cold sleeper. So those are the different factors that help you determine how often to wash or to change the bed sheets. But standard is once a week, once every other week. And there are other factors too, like how much time you have, you know. If you travel a lot and you only sleep in your bed half of the week, you don't need to change the sheets once a week. change them out.
And if you let your mother-in-law's boyfriend sleep in your student's bed, then you better wash them right away.
Because who knows what that guy did in there.
How long do you think it's going to take for me to hear from St. Mark's about telling that story? How much trouble do you think I'm going to be in? You think they're going to expel me at this late stage?
No.
But I think you should tell them that you'll publish a book called The Hot Sleeper of St. Mark's.
All right. Let me read you some of these testimonials here, because these are cute. Okay, so here's the first one. Nothing long or drawn out. I just wanted to let you know how much I have appreciated your column. Your insistence that making the bed will make a difference has made a huge difference, especially since I moved across the country and into a tiny studio apartment. Also, I don't know, there's just a general feeling of empowerment that goes with feeling like an adult. So there's one, Dave.
Why should she look at me when she says that?
Because you think I feel like you think I'm making this up, and I'm not.
I think you're projecting.
Because you broke a club.
Okay. All right. Here.
He's got three iron too. It's just
here's another one.
Make clean contact.
You too. Peanut gallery over here.
I was 180 yards away, and it just. Sorry. Yeah. No. I felt like I had the muscle for it, but.
All right. Here's another one. I'm participating in LaMob, and I'm loving it so far. The bedroom really does look so much tidier with a made bed, and plus, why else did I buy pillow shams but to use them on pillows that decorated the bedscape instead of living in a sloppy pile next to the bedside table? All right, then here's another one. In truth, I'm not a particularly neat person, but I took your LaMob advice to heart, and it has truly changed my life. Changing lives, Dave. That's what we're doing here. We are changing lives.
But are they for the better?
One bed at a time.
Who knows? All right, who can say?
Here's the last one. My partner and I got a jump on the bed making during February. I didn't even have to ask him. I just started making my side of the bed. We have a two duvet system since one of us is too hot, one is too cold, and half of us are blanket hogs.
Wait, how does that work? Will you share about somebody in the two duvet system?
Oh, I'm going to talk about this. We're going to do that next week when we do alternative ways to make that. That's what I do.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I can't be trusted in a bed with another human to share. So I have to have my own blanket.
I want to hear more about that.
Or more correctly, the other person has to have his own blanket because I'm a blanket hog.
This is the hot sleeper special.
Yeah. And actually, it ends up working out well because I tend to be a cold sleeper. And so I like a lot of blankies. And to make a gross generalization about one gender. Mm-hmm. Men tend to be hotter sleepers.
Yeah, women like
blankets. Yeah. So having a two duvet system means that you can have one that's heavyweight and one that's lightweight. So both people can sleep with the weight of cover that they're comfortable with.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. We'll go into a whole song and dance about this.
That's genetic
week.
Because...
Well, you guys do this too. You guys have separate
blankets.
Well,
we have a two duvet system. It's her duvet and no duvet.
Right. Okay, so here's this last one. Where did we leave off? Oh, yeah. Okay, so we have a two duvet system. Since one of us is too hot, one is too cold, and half of us are blanket hogs. I know which one is a blanket hog, too. It's the one who's too hot because that's me. That's me in any relationship.
Wait, why would you hog the blanket if you were too hot? If you were too hot.
Too cold.
Oh, sorry, the too cold one.
Okay,
So she says she's
the sub-zero thing.
Yeah.
So she's making her side of the bed, and then she continues. And then he started making his side without me even asking.
This
is a cleaning breakthrough. Dave, let me finish the letter.
I'm just saying.
This is a cleaning breakthrough. Anyway, thanks for LaMob. It's a small step, but it's a step we're taking together.
All right, maybe some of my testimonials. Dear Dave.
Dear Dave.
I went to make my bed, and it took so long that I missed my train. When I missed my train, I was late for work. When I got to work, I was fired, and it was all because I spent 7 minutes making my bed. I'll never make my bed again. Because it cost me my job, my life, and my family. Sincerely, I don't know, Bob.
Dave.
Wow, how about that? How about that?
That was a good one.
Didn't somebody write that book, The House That Jack Built, and you could, you know, this is the bed that Dave made?
I'm very impressed with your creative skills and coming up with that on the fly.
Well, I had three beers before I came here,
you
so
did.
Everything's loose. Everything's feeling good.
All right, listen, we're about to wrap this baby up. You got any more questions for my parents?
Guinness genius.
She has something she wants to say.
Oh, Mommy, you have something you want to say?
No, I don't.
No.
What did I do when I had you?
I don't know, Mommy.
You could fess up that you make me wash your vase and all that stuff.
No, he makes my coffee in the morning.
And he carries it up
3 flights of stairs.
Oh, yes, wow. He does. Yes, you're very spoiled.
Yes, I am.
You have room service, daily room service.
Yes, in my bed.
Yeah.
My perfect bed.
Wow, so what do you do like on anniversaries and birthdays? How do you step it up from there?
I usually tell her room service is closed.
I get
to play golf.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you guys, anything else? It's anything else you want to add about me and why I'm this way?
No, she was just a darling little girl.
What happened? We love you, but what happened?
This is good. I feel like it's almost like family therapy, and I'm just like the psychiatrist who's just like, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Because I thought of you as a patient.
All right, you guys. Well, listen, on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast sponsored by Sattva Mattress. Thank you, Sattva. We want to remind you guys to go check out their great mattresses and lots of other stuff other than mattresses, too, at Sattva, S-A-A-T-V-A, mattress.com. If you guys like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards we're offering to our listeners. We would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so very much. And of course, thank you to you for joining us for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast, the most special episode because it was the episode featuring my parents. And I want to say a big thank you, Mommy and Daddy, for joining us. I'm very excited to have you here. And I think this was great, and it was great fun. And I think our listeners are just going to love hearing from you guys.
If I have more questions, can I just text you or email you guys if anything comes up? Good, because I feel like I have more, and I'm just not remembering what they are.
I feel like you will eventually. We could keep them on speed dial for when we're recording. We get like a spider phone.
What about white vinegar? Do you have any insight into her love of white vinegar? Is that from you two or no?
No, that's me.
That's you?
Me. Yeah, okay. That's me.
Because that's her answer for everything is white vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I sprained my ankle and she said put white vinegar
Oxy.
On it.
Yeah, Mommy loves Oxy. Mommy loved Billy Mays.
Oh, how do you feel about Febreze?
Not good. Deafening silence.
That's not a positive sign.
Yeah.
Febreze is great. You got to try it.
Yeah. Oh, that Febreze stuff that stinks.
Yeah.
No.
All right, you guys. We're gonna sign off. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on next week's episode where we're going to talk about alternative ways to make the bed and night sweats.
And the double duvet.
That's one of the alternative ways and double duvet systems. So get excited for that, you guys. I hope everyone's LaMob is going great. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.